right. Well, guys, we are in a series called Total Family Makeover, and this is one of the, I don't know, probably one of the most unspoken, but one of the most necessary steps we can take in our families and in our lives. It's called developing boundaries. Now, boundaries are not really that popular. People don't really get excited about boundaries, but what I've found in 17 years of ministry, especially doing a lot of family ministry, is that most issues that arise in our families, most, not all, but most, deal with unspoken, broken down boundaries between people and between families. And so we need to really look at this. George Burns, I think, said it best. Happiness is a close-knit, loving family in another city, okay? And there's a lot of truth to that. I will tell you this, that when I was a teenager, my parents and I did this a lot. And when I moved out and we put a wide boundary between us, they had their home, I had my home, we got along a lot better. Many times, boundaries bring people together. But the main point is this. Boundaries are essential to a Christ-centered home. Boundaries, okay? It may be a physical boundary. Boundaries are things we put in place to determine how much influence something or someone's going to have on us. That's what a boundary is. It may be a physical boundary, like the walls of your house or the walls of this church, okay? Where there are boundaries between us and the outside. It may be an emotional boundary, limiting the amount of influence a person can have on you. It may be a spiritual boundary, limiting influences that affect your relationship with Christ or cause you to stumble in sin. It may be a media boundary. We have media boundaries for our children. Or a friendship boundary, who you will be friends with. But whatever they are, they're put in place to limit the amount of influence something or someone can have on you. Boundaries are good things; they bring people together. When I was in the summer times, we go to Hilton Head, and Hilton Head is one of the best things about Hilton Head is its bike paths. All right, they have nice wide bike paths that are probably this wide on them, and then there is a strip of grass, probably 8 feet wide or so, between you and the road. So there's a good wide boundary between the bicyclists, the cyclists, and the cars, and everybody's okay. Nobody's nervous. Everybody's okay because there's a good wide boundary. Now, I want to contrast that with Richmond Road. How many of you all have seen Richmond Road, the bike paths on Richmond Road? You know what's between the bicycle and the car? A white line about that much, okay? If you've seen that, there's no way that I would ride a bicycle on Richmond Road, even though there's a designated bike path. Why? Because the boundary's not wide enough and people can get hurt. Guys, boundaries are good things. They bring people together. Everyone's okay when they're good, defined boundaries. All right? So this is what we must do in our families. We must decide boundaries. Now, Israel in the Bible was a nation of God's people. Okay, they'd been very faithful to him. As time went on, however, they fell into idolatry and worshiping other gods. They turned their back on the one true God, and so God sent them prophet after prophet after prophet to bring them back. They didn't listen. They ignored him. So God moved into judgment phase, and the Bible tells us that because of all this, God sent Assyria as a judgment to basically destroy the northern kingdom of Israel, and Babylon, a couple centuries later, to destroy the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, Jerusalem was in Judah, and so after the Babylonians had their way, they left Jerusalem in ruins. They broke down the wall, okay? The wall was destroyed. The people were impoverished, and surrounding nations were basically having their way with Jerusalem. There's no wall there. Okay? A man named Nehemiah was a captive from Judah, and he'd been kidnapped during the Babylonian occupation. He'd been taken to Babylon to serve the king. And so, if you guys will turn to Nehemiah chapter 1:1-4, we're going to talk about boundaries here. It says this, "In the month of Kislev, during the 20th year, when I was in Citadel Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile. And also about Jerusalem, they said to me, 'Those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire.' When I heard these things," Nehemiah says, "I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Okay, what was going on with the wall being broken down? There were three things that were going on. When there are no boundaries, between a city or between your family or personal, three things happen. Number one is this, that you have a loss of identity. You lose your identity when there are no boundaries. Remember, God had chosen Jerusalem as his city. They were God's holy people. But with the wall broken down, all types of things were coming in and out. They lost their identity. 2 Chronicles 6:6 says this, "But now I've chosen Jerusalem for my name to be there, and I've chosen David to rule my people Israel." I've chosen, God is saying, I've chosen Jerusalem as my city. It's mine. Things are to be as I want them to be in Jerusalem. It's mine. Okay? But they lost that identity because they didn't have a boundary. See, guys, when we don't have well-defined boundaries in our home, we lose our identity as a family. We lose our identity as people. See, guys, a Christian home is a place where Christ dwells. You know that, right? You know that when Jesus prayed, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," that the Christian home is a place where things are as God wants them to be. That's what a Christian home is. That's the definition of a Christian home, where things are as God wants them to be, okay? And when we don't have boundaries, we don't have strong boundaries, we lose that identity. We become like everyone else around us, just like Jerusalem was becoming, just like every other nation around them because there was no wall. We become exactly like the people around us that do not call Christ Lord and Savior. That's what happens. We lose our identity. The second thing that happens when we have no boundaries is that the good is drained and diluted with the bad, okay? And Isaiah 5:20, I don't know if this is not a very popular verse in America today, but this is what it says. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Nehemiah realized that something doesn't have boundaries, it doesn't exist. Jerusalem did not exist. It had no boundary. And so the same is true of you and your family. If you don't have boundaries, your family doesn't exist. Okay? It just kind of drains in with everybody else. You cannot be a home where the will of God is done in the outside world and its influences has unlimited access to you. Okay? You cannot raise children to respect adults if they're bombarded with TV shows where kids disrespect their parents all the time. Disney's probably the biggest culprit of that. You cannot have a home where there's forgiveness and grace if you allow bitter relatives unlimited access to you and your children with their judgments and their opinions. Without boundaries, anything good is diluted with evil. And the third thing that happens when we have no boundaries is that there are people who profit off of your lack of boundaries. All right, what Nehemiah found here in verse 10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. These two guys apparently were businessmen they loved the fact there was no wall, and they were going in there and exploiting the people of Jerusalem. They had unlimited access to Jerusalem. They were draining the Jerusalem of money. They were draining Jerusalem of hope and food and everything, and they were profiting off of the lack of a wall, and they were not happy that Nehemiah had come back to do that. So, guys, there will always be people that profit off of your lack of boundaries. Listen, the average American household is more than $255,000 in debt, all right, because we don't have strong boundaries on what we'll spend and what we won't spend. Some people make a financial profit off of your lack of boundaries, okay? We're inundated with advertising showing us what we must have, what we have to have, what we at any cost, it seems. And these people are profiting off of your lack of financial boundaries. All right, and it's affecting your home. They become like leeches on your bank account, sucking it dry because it can get you to spend what you don't have. And some people, not making financial profit off of you, that some people get an emotional profit off of your lack of boundaries. One of the things I hear when I counsel couples, it inevitably comes up a lot, it's coming up more and more and more, is trouble couples have with their in-laws. And what I see, this is just objective, this is my own observation, what I've read in literature, it's usually, overwhelmingly, a wife who's having trouble with her husband's mother. They're financially tied together sometimes, mom's providing money, maybe paying some bills, and she criticizes the wife to her son, who feels like he can't say anything back because they're financially tied together. Or even if they're not financially tied together, feels like he can't say anything back to his mom because it's my mom, I got respect, and we're seeing this an awful lot. Because one of the things we're seeing in society, the reason this is happening, guys, it's not a judgment, it's just a truth, is that with the dissolution of the family and the flight of men from the families, many times the mother's left to raise the children. Okay, just note this. Well, mom has emotional needs. Sometimes the husband isn't there to fulfill them, so she looks to her son to fulfill them. There's a breaking down of a boundary between mother and son there. All right, she becomes emotionally attached to her son, who she looks to for joy, to fulfillment, to fill the empty spot her husband left. We're seeing this an awful lot. This is a sociological thing, and we're seeing this more and more in families. It's terrible for all parties. It's terrible for the mom. It's terrible for the son. It's extremely frustrating for the son's wife. Almost as she's competing with her mother-in-law for the heart of her husband. You see this quite a bit, guys, because there's a lack of boundaries. There are people that may be making an emotional profit off of your lack of boundaries. Okay, this highlights the need for good boundaries. So if we need boundaries, then how do we establish them? The first thing that you need to do is this. You need to define your family. You need to define your home, okay? So the first thing Nehemiah does, he sees all of this boundary being broken down, and he sees the world having its way with God's people. So he does this in chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. By night I went out through the valley gate towards the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on towards the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there's not enough room for my mount to get through. He basically goes on a tour. He observes. He walks around the entire circumference of Jerusalem, and he sees what needs to be inside the wall and what needs to be outside the wall. And this is what I want you guys to do today. I want you to walk around your home and find out who needs to be in and who needs to be out. You need to define your family. Nehemiah went and inspected. He went and looked around. He defined the boundary of Jerusalem. This is what we need to do here. First of all, you need to define your home. I want you to ask God, who is my home? Who is my family? Who am I responsible for? Okay? That's what we have to do. That's the first step. Guys, for me, it's my wife and my children. I'm a married man with children. That is my home. That is my boundary. That is who I am responsible for. I have family outside of that. I have my mom and my dad, my brother, and my niece and nephews, but I'm not responsible for them. They have their own homes. This is my home. Okay? I'm not accountable. I will not be held accountable for the actions of my brother, my mom, and my dad. I will be held accountable for the actions in my home, as will you. So define your home, okay? That's my wall. That's what I put my wall around. Now that wall has gates in it. It has gates in it. It has wide gates in it. I'm not saying wall off my family from the world. No, I'm saying that this is who I am. I've defined my boundary, and now I've got gates. But we determine as a family who gets in and who gets out, okay? We do not allow people or the world to have unlimited, unfettered access 24/7 to our family. That's terrible. And neither do you. You don't need to do that either. Guys, this is what I have to do. This is what I have to do. I have to define my family. Well, as a man, I work 6 days a week. I work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Well, Sunday through Friday. 6 days a week. Saturday's the only day I don't officially work. No office hours, no teaching, no preaching, no counseling, no prison ministry, nothing. Okay? I really have to guard that. I have to guard that. Once I've defined my family, then I have to define what goes on inside it. It's very tempting to break that boundary and work. However, I won't. It's my day, what the Lord says. So I have to define my work days and my off day. Define your work days and your off days too. See, we have to define our boundaries, guys. We have to define our home. Even if I wasn't a pastor, I would have another boundary that I'm going to share with you right now. It seems to be lacking in so many Christians' lives. Sunday morning. Sunday morning's worship only. For many of us, Sunday's a day of mites. M-I-G-H-T-S. I might go to church. I might play sports. I might sleep in. Might get laundry done. Conjures up the image in my mind of Jerusalem with the wall broken down. No boundary, so anything goes. I'm challenging all Christians to place a boundary around their Sunday morning. Sunday morning is not a day of mites. It's not a day of options. It is a day of worship. It's a day to set aside cares, worries, jobs, tasks, and laziness, and worship God. That's what Sunday morning is for, okay? So, if you're a Christian family, place a strong boundary around your Sunday mornings and say, no one gets in. This is not negotiable. I am in charge of my Sunday morning. My family is in charge. This is my family. We are a Christian family. Therefore, there's a boundary around Sunday morning. So we're not going to cross over. I want to challenge you guys to do that. Second of all, once you define your family, who it is, and define the boundary like Nehemiah did, second of all, we have to look at outside influences and determine how much access they will have to us. Okay, as a pastor, it's very difficult to do this, guys. It kills me. I'm never really ever off the clock. I'm never really, you know, because Satan doesn't work 9 to 5. Families don't have scheduled crises. People don't call me up and say, hey, on Wednesday at 1 o'clock, we're going to have a crisis, so can you be there? I'm like, write it down. Yes, I can. No, that doesn't happen. Okay? People don't get sick and go to the hospital by appointment. Babies aren't born on schedule. People don't need prayer only when I'm in the office. It's very difficult to maintain personal, professional boundaries as a pastor. And so I understand how tough this is, believe me. If this is a case for you, I understand it. But boundaries are difficult. Because they're difficult, we're called to defend them, called to fight for them. Right, believe me. There will be forces testing your boundaries at all times. Nehemiah saw this. Take this out. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19 through 20. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you're doing? They asked. Are you rebelling against the king? I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We are his servants and we'll start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. So what Nehemiah was doing, say, this is my city. I'm a Jew. I am part of this. You have no business here. Because I've defined my family's boundaries. Have you ever done this? Have you ever had to look at a relative or look at a person or an activity and say, you have no business here? Because this is who we are. Guys, that's how strong families are made, okay? We have to defend our boundaries. The first thing that we have to do, guys, we have to defend our boundaries. We have to defend personal boundaries. Personal boundaries. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So, do you have any personal boundaries? For example, cell phone. Got any personal boundaries when it comes to cell phones? Or is your cell phone pretty much accessible to you 24/7? Well, Jenny S. Radesky, a developmental pediatrician at the Boston Medical Center, studied parent-child interaction at fast food restaurants. She just sat at fast food restaurants in Boston and observed parents with their children. She said in 70% of cases, 70% of adults use their phones during the meal. 70%. Now, she did not define whether that's looking at the time, or I believe what her criteria was, actually talked on the phone or were actually actively engaged with their device during the meal. 70%. That's tough, guys. That's a boundary that's broken down. That's Jerusalem with broken down walls. No boundaries, okay? The reason this is, over 40% of children, when surveyed, say their parents are on their phones too much. When children are saying, hey, mom, dad, you're on your phone too much, that's pretty bad. And that studies in the UK and in England have shown that children entering kindergarten now currently don't know how to tie shoes or do other things that used to be standard when entering kindergarten. The cause, teachers have reported that parents are on their phones so many hours a day, they've used time that could be used to teach their kids these things. There's a definite need for personal boundaries, guys, when it comes to your cell phone and media. It's a huge problem right now. And you say, well, that's not really that big a deal. It's a huge deal. Look what it's doing to our families. Look what it's doing to our relationships. Look what it's doing to parent-child interaction. I would imagine, if I was to take a survey, that people have spent more time on their phones this week than sharing the gospel with other people. Yeah, what's more important? Like I said, this is a difficult one for me again as a pastor. Many times people want to contact me, send messages, respond to Facebook posts, etc. You need to decide boundaries of portable devices. This is America in 2016. We have to have boundaries if we're going to have Christian homes. All right, in our homes, no phones or in my home, this is a boundary of ours. No phones or iPads during mealtime. We don't do it. You can't even bring it. The phone rings. Don't answer it. That was the way it was in my home growing up. We talk also. Just sharing a Kibler family boundary. If you want to take it, you can. If you want to do it, you can. If you got children, at 10 o'clock, all devices go off. Our children are not allowed to take their phones or any into their rooms. No way. It's not going to happen. Because if they're in the rooms, they're going to be using them. And so, guys, enforce the boundaries. Enforce your personal boundaries. And I'll share a personal boundary that I've set up that I guard, okay? As a pastor, I run into a lot of people that are of the Christian faith or say they're of the Christian faith, okay? And I get a lot of advice, and I get a lot of criticism, and I get a lot of opinions on what I should be doing and how I should be acting and how I should be speaking. And I get a lot of opinions thrown at me all the time. Well, this is a personal boundary I've set up. I listen to no one who doesn't demonstrate fruit of the Spirit. If I see no love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in their lives, if I see an out-of-control household, if I see mom and dad hollering and screaming at each other and kids that are disrespectful to them and them yelling at their kids or if they have families, or if I see out-of-control, I don't listen to them. That's a boundary I've set up. If I'm going to, the only people I listen to and take advice from and will listen to criticism of are people that have fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's it. That's a personal boundary of mine. I would tell you to adopt that boundary for yourself. Let no one have spiritual influence over you or talk to you about church or talk to you about God if they don't have fruit of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's not within them. That's a personal boundary I would love for you guys to have. If you don't see that in me, don't listen to me. If you don't see that in me, you don't need to come to this church, okay? Because if I'm not demonstrating love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, then I'm a bad pastor and you need to leave, because I may be leading you the wrong way. That's a personal boundary I want everyone to adopt for themselves. The second personal boundary, and this is a tough one to talk about, but we have to. Look what 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. How about when it comes to sex? Do we have strong boundaries when it comes to sex? We live in a culture that wants to demolish any boundary when it comes to sexual behavior. It wants to demolish it at any price, it seems. It is an all-out assault on any boundary we set up sexually for us in this culture. Porn use is epidemic. One of the things that I've found on the effects of this boundaryless society that we have, one of the sociological reports coming in now that psychiatrists and administrators have to deal with is that women are reporting that when they go on dates, the men are approaching them more roughly than they used to. Popping up more and more and more, when if they're becoming sexually involved, they are more aggressive and more violent. Well, they did a study. 47 of the top 50 most watched porn movies contained aggressiveness towards women. Men are seeing this, and they're being saturated with this, and they're, because there is no boundary around their hearts, they're not guarding their hearts. They're seeing this, and they're being influenced along these lines. Okay. That's what's going on right now. Christian men and women, what is your boundary with what enters your mind? Is there a strong boundary there? Do you even have one? We need them. Draw a boundary. Set a wall. You are not your own. You were bought at a price, people. You were bought at a price. You belong to the Lord. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Guard your heart. And I know it sounds old-fashioned. I know it sounds old-fashioned, but this, you want to know what the Christian sexual ethic is? Do you want to know what it is from the beginning of Christianity? You know what it is? It is this. It's celibacy and singleness and fidelity in marriage. That's what it is. I'll put that in layman's terms. That's what God expects from Christians. If you're single, no sex. If you're married, sex with your spouse only. That's it. And it sounds so absurd. Look how far we've drifted from that. Look how broken down the wall is. We're looking at Jerusalem, people, and the wall's busted. And the world is having its way with our hearts and our families because we don't have that boundary in place anymore. I'm astounded now when a couple comes to me and asks me to marry them and they're not living together. And that's for Christian couples too. It's almost like people have no, the boundary is completely obliterated and the world's having its way with us. And look at the effects on our society. 41% of children now in America are born out of wedlock. That's all the struggles that go with single parenthood, abortion. I could go on. We've talked about that an awful lot. It's all because we don't have the boundary in place. The wall's broken down, and we need people to go like Nehemiah and place that boundary around and saying, this is what's out, this is what's in, and I'm not going any further, and I'm not allowing that into my home anymore. That's what we need. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Let's set strong boundaries sexually. We need them desperately. All right? And then when it comes to this, the third personal boundary is just simply simple self-control. Listen to what Proverbs 25:28 says. I love this. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. A person who lacks self-control. It's like a city whose walls have been broken down. Self-control is described like a wall around you, guarding you. How many of us have had major trouble in life, if we were to be honest this morning, because of a lack of self-control? How many of us have said things we regret, done things we regret, done things that have hurt other people because we didn't use self-control, because we didn't stop to think, because we couldn't control our appetites, couldn't control our passions, and we didn't have self-control guarding us? There may be some of us that are paying for things right now. They're paying for things because they didn't guard their hearts. Self-control, guys. Determine your personal limits. And here's the thing. When you defend your boundaries, those personal boundaries that I just talked about, and you probably have many more, be ready for opposition. The first thing that's going to happen is mockery and discouragement. It happened to Nehemiah. It's going to happen to you. Nehemiah 4, 1 through 5. When Sanballat heard we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from these heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, What they're building, even a fox climbing on it could break down the wall of stones. And Nehemiah says this, "Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." All right? That's what's going to happen. You're going to deal with mockery and discouragement. Any boundary you set is going to be dealt with mockery and discouragement. Ask any Christian couple in college who's planning on waiting to have sex until they get married what kind of stuff they get. I know we got it because that's what my wife and I did. One of the most embarrassing times in my life. It was Parents' Day at Center College, senior year. Rachel and I were engaged. And my grandparents were there, Rachel's parents were there, my parents were there, they're sitting up on the hill, all right? And we're playing Oglethorpe University, number one in the conference. I'm over on the sideline guarding a guy, he decides to cross the ball, he misses, and he hits me right here, right in front of my family, right in front of everybody. And our goalkeeper, who loved to make fun of me, shouts out, "Don't worry, Dave, you don't use them anyway!" Right in front of everyone. If you set boundaries, you're going to be mocked. You're going to be discouraged. Any boundary you set with your family will be mocked and discouraged. If you save up and pay cash instead of using credit cards to go into debt, you will be made fun of by your broke friends. You really will. And you know that when your broke friends make fun of you, you're doing the right thing. Any boundary you set, if you set financial boundaries, you set sexual boundaries, you set emotional boundaries between you and family members, you will be mocked and discouraged. Stand fast. because you're doing the right thing. Be ready for it. Second thing we do, we fight back. Nehemiah 4:14 said, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Fight for them. Parents, fight for your families. Children, fight for your families. Fight for your sexual purity. Fight for your financial security. Fight for these things. Once we have defined boundaries, then the boundaries are worth fighting for. Understand? That's what Nehemiah did. He's our example. This is something that something I'm very, very passionate about. I saw a prayer breakfast speech by a guy named Dave Grossman. He's a retired lieutenant colonel, Army Ranger. And he said there are three types of people in this world. He said most of them are sheep. Sheep. Kind of going about their business. Not bothering anybody, not being bothered, just kind of going about their business. Okay? He said in the second type, they're wolves. Wolves. Wolves love to kill the sheep. And great Dave Grossman looked out at all these first responders and he said, listen here, people. There are wolves out there trying to tear down your family, trying to have at your family, trying to have at your life. There are wolves. But there's a third type. And the third type is called a sheepdog. And he asked, what's the difference between a wolf and a sheepdog? Not much, really. Same canine family, same teeth, same strength, same speed. Probably 99.5% similarities between a sheepdog and a wolf, right? Then what's the difference? The sheepdog is under the authority of the shepherd. And the sheepdog uses his strength to defend, while the wolf uses his strength to kill. People, we have a choice. Especially us men. Are you going to use your strength to defend your family? Are you going to use your morals and your convictions to guard your family and set good, strong boundaries so that what happens inside your home is as God intends it? Or are you going to use your convictions and your strength to be a wolf and destroy? The choice is ours. There's no difference between the wolf and the sheepdog genetically. The difference between the wolf and the sheepdog is that the sheepdog is under the orders of the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so I'm asking all of us, as the band comes on back up, I'm asking all of us that we be sheepdogs, that we place our morals, our convictions, our strength, our passions under the guidance of the shepherd, of the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, and we defend. And we defend our families, we defend our homes, we defend our nation from those that would seek to destroy it. We have a big need for sheepdogs right now. And as we worship God, maybe you've never placed your home under the authority of the shepherd. I'm asking you to do that right now. Place your home under the authority of the shepherd and then be a sheepdog guarding that home against the wolves. I want everyone to close their eyes. I want you to ask yourself, who are the wolves? Who are the wolves trying to get at my family? Maybe it's social media. Maybe that's an idol in your household. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a bad relationship. Maybe it's you. What is the wolf? Define your boundaries. Pledge to God this morning, I'm going to be a sheepdog. I'm placing my passions, my strength, my courage, everything under your command, and I'm going to guard this family that you've entrusted me to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you.